Cap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, do you like Game 7s? Because you're getting a bunch in the NBA. And you know what? If the Rockets can help out tonight by winning Game 6, you'll have three on Sunday. Mother's Day Sunday, we'll have three NBA Game 7s. Good luck, moms out there. And nevertheless, last night, the Philadelphia 76ers beat Toronto. This back and forth, what exactly are the Sixers? Exactly what is going on with Joel Embiid's health? Continues to go along. If you're a Sixer fan, you just have to get the feeling like you're on this roller coaster ride where you're grabbing both ends of the cart, just hanging on. Like there's no seatbelt. You're just going down the loops, like hanging on for dear life. Sometimes it's exhilarating and sometimes it's terrifying. And that's what the Sixers have done in this postseason ride with Toronto. There have been so many moments where you felt, okay, you know what? Toronto is just a better team. And then there have been other times where you say, you know what? If the Sixers play like this, no one is going to beat them. And last night they stayed alive in their game 7 against the Raptors. And likewise, Portland did the exact same thing. Now, Portland, not so much, because they have not looked at times problematic with the Nuggets, where they have had some issues. They've just gotten beat. But in this game 6, they play well at home. They did play well at home last night, and they beat the Nuggets to force a game 7 on Sunday at the Pepsi Center. Now, I said yesterday, I think the Nuggets are going to win the series. I still think the Nuggets are going to win the series. But it's great to have a game 7. This is what the NBA needed after having to eliminate a lot of the bottom part of the first round. Get rid of some teams, get to a more competitive series in round number 2, and more importantly, if you can get 3 of the 4 series into a game 7 situation, it's a win for the NBA that still is struggling to find a huge audience without LeBron James. But if you are paying attention to these playoffs, there's a lot of good stuff going on, a lot of stuff to enjoy. This has been really entertaining basketball in round number 2. I hope it continues in round 3 in the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, but right now, you're getting your money's worth. We'll examine Philadelphia's ride to victory last night, as well as Portland's as they stay alive in their series, and what's going on with Kevin Durant in the Rockets-Warriors series with Game 6 tonight. I'll update it all as we continue on a Friday morning. SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. Tony D, Ron Culver, taking you through on a Friday.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Happy Friday to you. I hope you have a good weekend. It should be fun with a lot of Game 7s. Hope there's 3. Rockets sticking on Golden State tonight in Houston in Game 6. Durant will not play for Golden State with that calf injury from Game 5. He's not been ruled out for Game 7, but I don't know. People want to make speculation. This is what they do. They think that he'll probably be out for a Game 7 if there will be a Game 7, but not necessarily the Western Conference Finals should they advance. But we do have 2 Game 7s, so.
Do you get the feeling that maybe he will be ready for Game 7, but he'll just be too upset to play?
Yeah, probably, right? Yeah, probably.
Like,
probably
Tuesday. Game 7.
Game 7. Shoot.
Whoever wants to be in a Game 7 in a high-profile series.
This is so great for the NBA to possibly have 3 on Mother's Day Sunday. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, but like you said, not good for moms.
Yeah, moms would be like, I am so excited. On this, I'm going to... No, we're not. Well, I thought we were going to go to brunch, but... I mean, there's 3.
Oh, no, you can. You know what? You could probably do brunch.
You could probably do brunch, but isn't brunch more of a, isn't lunch?
Yeah, I guess it's more in the afternoon. You better switch that to a breakfast.
Yeah, it's more on the breakfast side of it.
You know, maybe 6 o'clock in the morning. Get there early, beat the crowd.
Yeah, get really early. Like, get there super early, and then get it over with. And then let, you know what you tell mom? You say, you know what we're going to let you do? Nap. Just nap all day. and I'll watch basketball, and I'll take care of the kids, and you nap.
Or send her to the salon.
Yeah.
Get hair, get nails, do what you need to do.
Do what you want to do. And send take 7 hours to do it.
Yeah, send her out of the house.
There you go. Because you got Nuggets in Portland, and then you've got Sixers and Toronto. And if Rockets win tonight, you'll have Rockets in Golden State. And that is a fine menu. Let me check the schedule real quick. Because I know that we'll have all of those games on Sunday, but I'm assuming this it looks like the Houston Golden State game is going to be at 2:30 Central Time where I live, so 3:30 Eastern. The 7 o'clock game Sunday night will be Philadelphia Toronto. That's a weird time for East Coast Eastern Conference game to start throwing that together. But ABC wants the Golden State game, so that's why they're getting it Sunday afternoon. Portland Denver, don't tell me that's going to be like a noon start Central or Mountain Time or really early in the afternoon. That'll be. What are we flipping the script here? What are we? Why don't you move the Denver Portland game to the 6 o'clock game? Move Toronto Philadelphia, and then if you have Golden State and Houston, if you have that, then pencil that in at 2:30. Yeah, but if you don't have that, then Denver Portland gets the 2:30 ABC game. I don't know much about television scheduling, so what am I talking about? I have no idea.
This is a head scratcher because. Well, I guess right now I'm looking. It says Blazers Nuggets to be determined. So they haven't figured out a time for it yet.
Yeah. So what they're saying
they're
is
they're waiting for Rockets Warriors.
Yeah, the Rocket Warriors. So if Golden State wins tonight, then they don't need the game 7. So I guess Denver Portland gets the 2:30 slate.
You wouldn't want the Rocket Warriors to be the marquee game, right?
Yeah. It sounds like Toronto and Philadelphia is already locked in at 6 o'clock. That's the night game on TNT. That looks like that's already locked in. So because that would be a to be determined if it wasn't. And then Portland-Denver would get the 2:30 slot if Golden State and Houston are done tonight. If they go to Game 7, when does the Portland-Denver game start? At noon? You can't start a basketball game at 11 o'clock in Denver, can you?
Well, you could.
I guess you
Anything's
could.
Possible. I mean, they should have last night.
Yeah, I know. Way too late.
You and I were talking about this before we jumped on air. It was such a fun game, but
game.
By the time halftime came around, it's like you know, I need some rest. I need to get 3 hours of sleep.
These games are brutal. They are really going late. I mean, these games are really going late. And I understand it's Portland, and you listen. I understand how it goes. You don't want to screw the local fans over. You don't want to. You're asking local fans to go to games, and yes, they would go to finals and they go to World Series at 5 o'clock or whatnot, but you can't ask them to do it all the time. So you have to give them a reasonable time to settle in and get to the game and settled into the game. And that's about a 7 o'clock start. Sometimes these go late for television, but it does mean that if you're on the East Coast or in the Central Time Zone, these things aren't tipping off until 10 o'clock. And you know, 2.5 hour basketball games aren't getting done until after midnight. Or you wait, you know, so that's kind of what you have to put up with if you want to get some good West Coast basketball. Where, for a lot of the last couple of years, where is all the good action has been, where all the good series have been. So it's one of those. Well, guess I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of thing. The Sixers last night, Joel Embiid. Can you remember anybody that's had more of an up and down series? That's critical to the success and failure of the team than Joel Embiid in terms of his health. And it's not just dealing with an injury, right? So we've seen athletes, all right, he's dealing with an ankle sprain or but he's still playing on it. And some games you can see it affect him and then he gets some rest and he's not affected by it. Then he tweaks it a little bit. We've kind of done that in a number of sports. But with Joel Embiid's health, like the stomach ailment or whatever he's got, to watch this guy, the Sixers stink, and then they don't stink, and then they stink, then they don't stink. Last night they were up by 20, then the lead was cut to 7, and then they win the game, and Ben Simmons plays well, and Jimmy Butler does his thing. He leads the Sixers in scoring. Embiid plays great in the third quarter after struggling early in the game. This whole series has been, Toronto's been ignored, and the entire series is Joel Embiid, whether or not he's in form or not, whether or not he's playing well or not. Sick, not sick, sick, not sick, playing well, not playing well. He's the biorhythm of the series. And they win last night, and they win pretty good. They win by 11 points. And again, like I said, they were up by 20 in the game before Toronto started cutting it, making it a little bit of a game, but never really made it close. And the Sixers now evened up that series when they're going to Toronto on Sunday. And if Joel Embiid is healthy, I expect a really good 76ers team. But if he comes down with Spanish flu, they're going to lose. If he should come down with the measles, they're going to lose. Or whatever. I mean, who knows what he could get? But it's been, he has been just up and down in this series. And last night he bounced back and the Sixers win. And you know what's funny about this series? As good as the Sixers look at times when they look really good, there is no question that because of the owner's declaration of the kind of success he's looking for in this series and the kind of success he's looking for in these playoffs, Brett Brown is coaching for his job. That this assembly of talent, regardless of the fact that they're going up against Toronto, the owner of this team wants him to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's it. And Brett Brown could lose his job taking this team to a Game 7 in the second round against an excellent Toronto team. Now, maybe he doesn't. Maybe they have the postseason conversation and Brett Brown comes back. But that's kind of at the forefront of Game 7 on Sunday, is one coach is coaching for his job. And the other one is looking to sort of keep on expelling some demons of playoff failures from the past in the Toronto Raptors. But this is a good series. I mean, they were, like I said earlier, especially Game 3. You watch the Sixers in Game 3 and you're thinking, nah, they're never going to lose. And then they did. They lost back-to-back games. They lost back-to-back games, including one at home. And Embiid struggled. And last night he was back. And they didn't. And they brought it all together.
So you mentioned Spanish flu. What else? What other elements can we come up with?
Let's see.
What about swine flu, bird flu?
Swine flu, bird flu. That was good.
Zika.
E. coli? Zika. Oh, Zika. That was a good one a while ago.
Yeah, Zika.
Weren't we all going to die from the Zika virus?
I thought so.
Remember that? Mad cow disease? What if he gets mad cow disease?
Hoof and mouth disease. How about
that
one?
That's right. He could get that. Who knows? Simple, just good old food poisoning from the catered meal.
Didn't hoof and mouth disease run through the Mets organization?
I think it did.
I want to believe it did.
I think it did.
It sounds like a Mets thing.
You know what's great? If you Google foot and mouth disease, I'm sure Mets, if you start typing Mets, it'll start popping up. Like, oh, I know what you're talking about. Google knows. Oh, yeah. What was the one that infected the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Do you remember that? Was that... That was some sort of staph infection. Remember that?
Yeah.
And some of the players were going to sue the team because they were like, no, no, you're supposed to clean this up. Like, we're not supposed to get this.
You know, too many. You know, you know what they forgot? They forgot their shower shoes.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
It was.
Wasn't that it? What? I gotta rehash the story. But if I'm not mistaken, I think a couple of them caught some sort of staph infection. I think one of them was a kicker. And he like lost his job or something. And he said, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to lose my job over this. I'm suing.
All right. Well, first off, Noah Syndergaard and J.A. Happ came down with hand, foot, and mouth disease last year.
Oh, God.
Last summer.
God.
So we have that for the Mets.
Doesn't HIPAA rules apply at all? Like, don't you want to keep some of this stuff private? It's like it's everything you get when you're a professional athlete is public knowledge. God, what a terrible disease that sounds like. Oh, it sounds like gangrene or something. Like, just I'm gonna have to amputate.
Well, that was the thing too. It was like foot, hoof, hand, foot, mouth disease is usually a kid disease, and that's why it was kind of weird that grown men were getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, were they not washing up enough?
Yeah, exactly. I don't even want to know how you get that kind of stuff, because you know when an athlete gets this stuff. I've always said there's two things when you cover sports for a living, you have to kind of have two side jobs as well as being a reporter. You have to be like part lawyer and part doctor, because part doctor means you get these injury reports and you have to do your research on them and you got to come up with how they got it, a diagnosis. You kind of have to explain to your readers/listeners, whatever, that how, you know, what the ailment is and how the treatment comes about and all that other stuff. You got to know what all the ligament damage is. And then lawyer, because these guys get in trouble all the time. So you need to kind of know what they're up against, what they're facing. Is this a misdemeanor, felony? You have to talk to lawyers about what, you know, because you're trying to report. But it's with some of these ailments, if I'm an athlete, sometimes I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to be lumped into how people get this by bad hygiene and things like that. I'm going to be like, no, I got this another way. I actually wash my hands after I use the restroom. And I actually keep a clean house. I don't have cockroaches all over my flashy apartment. So please, don't think I'm getting this because I'm a dirty person. I mean, God. But yeah, Joel Embiid, if he's... I mean, I can only imagine like, got a migraine today. I don't know what I'm going to do. Got to lay in bed, turn off the lights. And if he's sick, they won't win. But if he's healthy, they got a very, very good shot at advancing. This has been a fun series. This really has. It's been a blast.
Like you were mentioning, I've never seen a series that really depends on the health of one player.
I know. It's been the storyline the whole way.
It's so bizarre.
Six games in, the entire conversation is Joel Embiid's health.
I mean, do the
that
Sixers,
dominant.
At this point, do the Sixers just keep him in the bubble?
Yeah, no kidding. Just like John Travolta in that movie from way back in the 80s.
I was going to go Jake Gyllenhaal in Bubble Boy.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know,
Does he play the next game in a bubble?
That's right, he should. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. We'll continue our conversation on the NBA and the Rockets Warriors next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get to the Rockets-Warriors Game 6 tonight. Before we do that, got to tell you about the O'Reilly Auto Parts Loaner Tool Program. If you are doing a repair that needs a special tool, listen to this. They have over 80 specialized loaner tools that are available and are sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. So you purchase the needed parts for your project, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, return the tool in the original condition, then you receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So tonight in Houston, the Rockets will try to stay alive against Golden State. Couple of things to consider about this series. All right, so Kevin Durant is not going to play for the Warriors. Now, okay, what does that actually mean in terms of what you'll see on the court tonight? Well, it depends. There's two statistics that jump out with Golden State not having Kevin Durant. One, in their last 27 games that they've played without Durant, but with Steph Curry, and you got to go kind of go through the box scores to find all the games in which Steph Curry played and Durant was hurt or on the bench or just didn't play for whatever reason. The Warriors are actually 26-1. So they still win games, even though Durant is not on the court. Now, think about this, though. Okay, your first thought would be, well, how skewed is that record? Is a majority of those games when Durant's hurt? Or is a majority of those games when Durant is resting against maybe teams, weaker teams, or whatever it is? How in those 27 games, what's the level of competition? Well, they break it down for you. Four of those games and four of those wins came against the Rockets at some point during this stretch of these 27 games. However, in the playoffs, when they do the plus minus, the Warriors are getting outscored by 79 points during time in which Durant is on the bench. So at least in this postseason, Durant's absence should be a big, big factor. So on the one hand, yeah, Golden State should be okay. They still got star power. They still got guys who can lead you to victory, even if Durant is not playing. But on the flip side, in this postseason, that's not really the case. That's not really the case. When Durant is not on the floor for any period of time, the Warriors have been outscored by 79 points in the combined time that Durant is on the bench. So that should have a factor tonight. You add in the fact that the Rockets have their back against the wall and they're playing at home and for the most part have played well in these games against Golden State, despite the fact that they're down 3-2, including a game 5 comeback in which they did take advantage of Durant's absence off the court after he left the game with the calf injury in the third quarter to come back from a 20-point deficit from the second quarter. Then the Rockets should get this to a seventh game. There's no excuses why they shouldn't. Steph Curry can't hit anything he's looking at from behind the arc. All right, he's shooting miserable. I think it's 26% is what he's shooting from the three-point line in this series. Now, listen, he's a shooter. He can come right back and start roaring, start knocking down everything from under the sun. Fine, we know that he's that threatening. But if this continues and he still can't hit, then they just got to figure out, Houston's got to figure out how to take advantage of that, bottle up Klay Thompson so he doesn't go off late and get this victory and get it to Game 7. Then we'll have a conversation about Durant's injury, playing in a must win game, all of that. Does he have the fortitude to be able to play? Can he play? If it's 60%, will he still find a way to get on that court? If it's 50%, will he find a way to get on that court? There's a lot of questions that will come by Sunday of whether or not Durant's availability and what it will be like for him if she get on the court in a Game 7. And I hope we have that conversation, because this is the series that if you had all four of them laid out, this is the series I wanted to go seven. At least seven. I mean, I kind of want the Warriors to get dethroned a little bit, but I wanted this game to be competitive in a seven-game series. And we've already got two in the books, and it would be nice to have a triple header of game sevens. And it would be good for the league that is still kind of hurting because of LeBron James' absence in the postseason. The ratings are down. I'd like to see them get back up. I think the NBA could really use a nice boost. This would be a big, big game for not only ABC, but for NBA across the board to get this game to a game seven. So that's the thing tonight. I think the Rockets have no excuse here. They've got to win this game. There's absolutely none. You take advantage of Durant's injury. There is statistical analysis that shows you can. There's statistical analysis that shows you have. You go do it. And if you're James Harden, if you got to score 50, score 50. Go get it. Go get this win and get this to a seventh game. And the Rockets are not a self-destructive team like Boston. They're not a team that's relying on the health of one individual player like the Sixers, right? They are a team that has gotten production from PJ Tucker. They've gotten Eric Gordon. Harden has played very well. He's averaging, 28, 29 points so far in this postseason. Chris Paul the same way. Yes, they've been outplayed at times by Golden State to a point where they find themselves in the hole, but they're not dealing with something, some sort of outside force that's popping in. They wanted it to be about the refs. The refs have quieted down as much. That has not been the factor in the series that we thought it was going to be after game one. It is that either that has been squashed by everybody involved, or basically the refs haven't really made any reason to start screaming and yelling. But nevertheless, the referees have not been the factor in the series we thought it was going to be. This has been about basketball, and game six will be about the absence of Kevin Durant getting on the floor and Houston taking advantage. Please help the NBA, Houston, by winning this game tonight. Help the NBA. Because Portland-Denver is still a series that people are warming up to. Sixers-Toronto is still a series in which Joel Embiid's health becomes the main factor. I want the best series that we've had so far to go to a pivotal Game 7 on Sunday. We love to bring you up, but we like to take you down a bit in sports. The Warriors have been an outstanding basketball team from 2015 on. They have won three of the last four championships. Houston almost had them last year. They're getting another shot this year. I wanted to go to a seventh game. And wouldn't mind a little extra, an extra team. What was the last team to go to the NBA Finals other than Golden State? Was it San Antonio in 2014? I think it was, when they beat the Miami Heat. So give me some new blood in the Western Conference. I'd like to see Houston and James Harden play in the Western Conference Finals.
Don't we ask that of all sports?
Yeah, we do. We bring you up, and then we want to take you down a little bit.
Like last year, we all became Chiefs fans. We all became every team fan except for Patriot.
Yeah, we don't really like dynasties as much as we think we are. We appreciate them, but we don't really want them.
We like dynasties in the fact that we can look back and go, man, that was amazing.
That was amazing.
We appreciate the Celtics of the 60s or the Lakers of the 80s, but Warriors of the 2000 teens, no.
No. But can you imagine?
Give us 20 years, we'll like him.
What would people have been saying about the 80s when the Lakers? I mean, the Lakers in the 80s went to the finals, I want to say seven times or yeah. six times. There was two times the Rockets went, the Lakers went in 80, 82, 80. 3, 84, 85, 87, 88. And they went to 7 in the 80s. Rockets went to 2, and I think Portland went to the last one of the decade. But can you imagine people going, oh, can somebody please knock off the Lakers? This is getting old. And we're already feeling that about the Warriors 4 years into their excellence in the Western Conference. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Maybe you've been staying up late for these NBA games, and maybe you're just like, man, I my body's all out of whack and I need to get some sleep. So what do you do? Well, what do you do when you need energy? You grab an energy drink, and now you can do the same for sleep with Psalm Sleep. Just drink a small can before you're ready to sleep. And Psalm Sleep is now available at your local Walmart, or you can go online at GetSom.com. That's GetSom.com. That's S-O-M, by the way. And use radio code for the 15% off your first purchase of Psalm Sleep. So again, small can. Drink before you sleep. You'll sleep great. Psalm Sleep. GetSom.com. S-O-M. All right, so there's one story I want to get to. Tony Romo is playing golf at the AT&T Byron Nelson this week in Dallas, which is just a perfect ticket, a promotion for people to buy tickets, right? It's come see Tony Romo play golf. He's one of the best broadcasters we have on TV, and I think he used to play quarterback for our local football team, but nevertheless, he's a great broadcaster. Tony Romo shot a 5-over-par 76 in the first round. Now, let me tell you this. He's an amateur. He got a sponsor's exemption for this tournament. That's a great score. That's a great score. He is not an aspiring pro. He is not a really, really, really great amateur that could go pro, but just keeping his amateur status right now. He's not a weekend golfer. He probably plays more than the average weekend golfer, given that his schedule probably allows a few more rounds of golf. Now he's working for CBS and prepping for NFL games. But he's not dedicating his life to the pursuit of golf excellence. And he shot a 5-over-76. Now, I know the critics will come out and say he took a spot from a potential PGA Tour pro. And he likely did. He probably did. But you know what? These tournaments are not PGA Tour run most of the time. They're run by... There's an entity that comes together that puts this on. They go by the PGA Tour qualifications. They adhere to the rules of running this tournament, but it's their tournament. That's why a PGA Tour pro, by the way, who live some of the best lives you could have as an athlete, when they go to these things or they commit to go to these things, they are not only going because it's their job most of the time, but these tournaments will give them a whole bunch of goodies for showing up. One golfer talked about getting a Segway at a tournament. You know those motorized stand-up carts? Got a Segway at one tournament. One golfer says, my kitchen is filled with top-of-the-line appliances and cookware from all the tournaments that I've been to. Some get trips. The wives get spa treatments and anything that they want, shopping sprees, whatever, tickets to games that are going on that night, maybe a ball game or whatever it is they want, helicopter rides, admissions to theme parks, whatever it is that local area has, these pros get just, here's a basket of fun. Thanks for coming to our tournament. Because their job is to sell tickets and sell a lot of tickets to go. And if Tony Romo gets people to come in on a Thursday and Friday before he misses the cut, great. But I give Romo some credit here. Again, he could have shot a 90. I mean, this is a PGA course. This is at PGA length. This is at PGA green difficulty. He could have shot 100. There are some courses that if you're a good golfer, let's say you're a single handicap, you shoot normally 70, 78, 79, maybe 81, whatever it is. There are courses that if you went to play on the PGA Tour and you played them with PGA rules, right? Out of bounds, you don't just drop the ball off where it crossed the line. You have to go back to the tee. You can't move the ball, give yourself a little bit of a better lie. I mean, you're playing ball as it lies. If it's in a divot, it's in a divot. Green, you know, everything that the tour players deal with, You'd shoot 100. Even if you're a good player, you'd shoot 100. Now, I don't know if this course, Greystone Golf Club, is like that. Maybe it's one of the easier courses on tour, and the guys are blitzing through it. But Romo's shooting 5 over, including having an eagle. That's pretty respectable. So, but one of the storylines that's coming out is, should CBS put Romo on the Masters broadcast and the other PGA Tour events that they do throughout the year? I mean, utilizing Romo's passion for golf, maybe his knowledge of golf, and putting him in that setting. Now, for one, I wouldn't mind seeing it. I think he might be a little green in that department to do the Masters. I'm sure Augusta National, who run that broadcast and tell CBS what to do, would probably be really careful about having Tony Romo there. But the other tour events, I'm sure, would love to have Tony Romo on the broadcast.
Of course.
But, I mean, why wouldn't you? He could predict the winner.
Yeah, that's what I'm... I mean, don't we want that?
I do. I'd love it.
Just have him, you know, if it's like, say it's Tiger sizing up on the green, you know, and Tony just goes, oh, he's going to go, you know, he's going to hit this about 50 feet towards the right before it banks down back towards the left.
And I see it going in, Jim. I see it going in. I also would like that Romo excitement right before a guy swings. Like, all right, let's go back to 18. This is Jordan Spieth with 5 iron from 202. Oh, Jim, I don't know if it's going to go on the green or maybe in the bunker. I'm not really sure. Oh, look at that. I want that Romo energy.
Or we just have him voice all the sounds that we make anyways.
Yeah.
You know, we make these weird sounds and arc our body to move the ball in mid-flight.
Yeah, exactly, right?
We all know what we're talking about. You know, it's going, because he likes to do those too. That'd be fun.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. Let me tell you what. I would love to hear what Romo said. I didn't check any post-round quotes or anything like that. But I wonder if Romo... Because there are athletes who have like played, you know, at the highest level, right? Super Bowls, NBA Finals, right? At the highest level of what they do best. But they've all said, man, I got to play in this tournament and I was on the first tee and I was scared to death. I wonder if Romo had amazing, amazing jitters playing in this PGA Tour event. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good amateur. But I wonder if he just went, oh, man, I could barely pull the club back. I mean, it was so awesome. Because, yeah, he played for the Cowboys. There's not a lot of pressure in sports, but quarterback for the Cowboys is one of them. That's a high-level job. And I wonder how he felt kind of playing a tour event. But he did great. I thought 5 over is respectable to me. I'm fine with an amateur shooting 5 over. Because let me tell you what, if you had gotten some college kid who played for SMU or something, and you're like, oh, this kid's an up-and-coming golfer, man. He's one of these... He's an AAC or Big 12 player of the year or whatever. We're giving him an exemption. And he shot 5 over. You would say, oh, good job. Way to go. Way to hold your own. Romo held his own. Like he could have really embarrassed himself. He could have shot a 95. I mean, my God. How terrifying would that be? But he did really well. So I'm glad he's playing golf. I mean, somebody asked him, he goes, what's the end game for you? You going to go pro? So he's not going to go pro. Do you realize he could make $10 million a year talking about football on television? Do you think Tony Romo, at his age, thinks he can just go hit buckets of balls all day, every day, and go compete on the Champions Tour when he turns 50? You know how hard that is? He ain't going to do that. Why would you do that when you're making more money than you can count talking football on the television, box? Goodness gracious.
But couldn't he could go maybe do the senior PGA?
No, that's why I said the Champions Tour. He can't. He can't do that.
He can.
No, he can't.
He can.
No, he can't.
He's Tony.
No, he can't.
Romo.
No, in all seriousness, he can't. The next level, Phil Mickelson is 2 years away from playing on that.
Yeah, but he's not going
to
go.
Of course he is. Where else is he going to go? Mickelson's not going to play. He can't play in his PGA Tour in his 50s.
Why not?
Because you don't. You don't. You don't. You go to.
He's a legend.
All right. This is being derailed. This is way being derailed because I can see you kind of swimming and going. Tony, look.
I just don't want Phil to go away. That's all I'm saying.
Here's the deal with here's the deal. The web.com tour is a perfect example of this. When they built it, it was called the Ben Hogan Tour. When they started, that was a minor league for golfers, right? And it was supposed to be a place you'd go get your tour card. And if you couldn't get your tour card there, you'd go play on the web.com tour. But you know what happened to the web.com / Ben Hogan tour? What happened was those tournaments, people thought, oh, okay, this is where I'll get a chance to make a little money. I can work on my game. I can get to be better. No, wrong. The guys were shooting 13, 14, 15, 17, 21 under par. They were going out there shooting 63, 63, 64. They were really, really good players that couldn't get to the next level. The Champions Tour is the exact same thing. The guys on the Champions Tour, they're not old man Johnny who used to be a really good golfer down your street. These are retired PGA Tour professionals who are playing. Romo could hit balls every single day for the next 10 years and not make that and not play there. Because Romo has to be able to go to any course in America right now. Any course in America, if I randomly go throw a dart and go that course right there, and he's got to be able to shoot 4 or 5 under par without seeing it. That's the level of golf you have to play in order to be competitive on that level of tour. It's not just about practice. I mean, guys practice all the time who don't make it. And so if I was, that's kind of, they did this with Michael Jordan too. They said Michael Jordan could be a pro golfer because he had a -3 handicap or 3 handicap. And they're like, no, a PGA Tour golfer has a +4 handicap. You add strokes to get to par from what he normally averages. And so that's why I get dissuaded with Romo. He's not a good enough player to just, he can do it because one time he threw a football against the Packers in a playoff game. It's two totally different athletic feats, and you either have it or you don't. If he had shot 66 in round one and really showed he had the ability to go low and very low, then I might say, oh, maybe you should think about it. But he doesn't. He goes to these things and he shoots in the mid-70s. But he should be because he's an amateur. And he's a good enough player to be Tony Romo, good golfer / pro football player, like Steph Curry is good golfer NBA player. But they're not shoot a 63 good. That's crazy. But nevertheless, I'm proud of Romo. That was a good showing because, again, that could have been embarrassing, and he showed up and played really well. All right, 800-777-2907, Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The Boston Bruins beat Carolina last night 5-2. They take game one. And a friend of mine on Facebook last night said, one down, 7 to go, we want the cup. And I said, if there is a God, please do not let this happen. Please. Just don't let this happen.
One down, 7 to
go. I mean, one down, 7 to go.
Don't you get the feeling that's a t-shirt in Boston already?
Already. Oh, God. I don't know. You get enough parades. My God, how many parades do you want? As many as we can.
One,
I get it.
One every 3 to 4 months.
Oh, goodness. Because you know what's going to happen? If the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, you're going to have those memes again and all the Boston people posting things like, oh, I feel bad for 6-month-olds. This is only their second parade in their lifetime. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Things like that.
At this point, do you think those duck boat tours, they just kind of like, it's like, well, you know, we're kind of, you know, if tourism is hurting a little bit, it's like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
You know, once a quarter, we bankroll for the year, so we're fine.
Which is an easier accent to take, a Southern accent from Carolina or a Boston accent from New England?
Funny you should mention that. I read a report once that the Southern accent was one of the more sexier accents throughout the world.
I think it is with women. I think a woman with a Southern accent is a real pleasure to hear.
But Jim Bob...
Not so much.
You know, deep in the heart somewhere. Maybe not him.
What about dropping yas and just kind of rolling?
Maybe.
And, talking hockey?
I mean, I don't know. You know, you're asking two males if a Southern male accent is sexy. That's not going to work.
Just more or less, would you rather hear a hockey conversation with a Boston accent or a Southern accent?
Where there are no R's?
For example, would you rather hear somebody say, well, you know, our blue line is playing pretty well. We moved the puck in the offensive zone to get behind the net really quick. And I like the way our goalie moves in the crease and you can hit the points on the corners. And, you know, if the ice is fresh and all that, you see good skating, which I really tend to enjoy. Or would you rather hear, I'm getting sick and tired of all these referees. The way our offensive zone is not really working and the boys can't get the puck moving. And when they start getting the puck moving, my God, it's like five defenders on top of them. And then they got to move their stick. And one guy, he was sticking the stick right through the skate. I mean, why do you not blow the whistle on that for crying out loud? I don't really like the way this series is being officiated. I want Boston to completely understand what's at stake here. We need another championship. Which one of those would you rather hear from an analysis standpoint in this series? Because you're getting both, either one or the other. I'm certainly not good. Unless Canadian guy comes swooping in and starts saying a boot a lot and just kind of gives you the hockey analysis.
Well,
that
we would need Canadian guy to come in and save us all.
That's right. I would love to set up a North Carolina native and a Boston native arguing hockey in this. You know what's cool about this series, though, for a little bit of history, is that the Carolina Hurricanes used to be the Hartford Whalers. And before they moved. So, you know, just a little nugget of information. But like I said earlier at the start of the segment, if there is a God, you will not let this happen for the city of Boston again. So all of my friends can just slow the arrogance down, because rightfully deserved with the Red Sox and the Patriots. But twice as nice, three times, will just drive me crazy. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, as it rolls along on a Friday.